Welcome to Session 9, Pastoral Care Through Preaching. Calling this this session, Pastoral Care Through Preaching in the Context of Worship. An integrated approach to ministry sees worship not as the preliminaries, but as the primary congregational event for pastoral care and preaching. Have you ever heard worship referred to as the preliminaries, that which comes before preaching? It was a common term among rural worshipers, where men in particular would stand around outside on the church steps during the singing and then come in for the preaching when the preliminaries were over. Singing was considered something for the women and children, so the men chewed the fat on the front porch till it was time for the preacher to start. That was an experience of my first preaching situation. It was a country church, and I was surprised when all these men came in after the last song before the sermon was preached, that they'd been outside just talking during the what they call the preliminaries. Well, thankfully, that practice has pretty much gone the way of the gas light, except for some preachers who are either absent during what comes before their turn to preach. Really, I saw a preacher make a grand entrance following the singing and announcements, or there's the preacher who is distracted during worship because of reviewing his or her notes. In both cases, the preacher is saying, what's really important here is the preaching. Everything else is leading to the big event, my sermon. Well, preaching is in the context of worship. It's not an isolated event. It's not a lecture or a one-person performance or a monologue. Preaching occurs within the context, within the midst of worship. Whether your style of worship is liturgical, with chants and creeds and written prayers, or traditional, with hymns and spontaneous prayers, or secret sensitive with drama and skits, and or contemporary with an emphasis on singing contemporary songs and choruses, regardless of the style, you are also a worshiper and a modeler of worship for your people. When preaching is seen in the context of worship, there is a conversational component to worship. We speak to God in prayer and praise, and God speaks to us through His Word found in Scripture and through the preached Word. Thus saith the Lord. Then through the sharing of the sacrament of communion, God touches us with tangible expressions of His love. As our gifts reciprocate, we love because He first loved us. Consider in more depth the four styles of worship: liturgical, traditional, seeker, and contemporary, and the need for an integrated approach to ministry. Although your church may flavor one style over another, there may be times when you blend in elements of the four styles, or you may be in one of those churches that offer a variety of worship services: 8:30 liturgical, 9:45 contemporary, 11 o'clock traditional, evening seeker. It's happening. One of the issues that often comes up in the conflict management and mediation courses concerns worship styles, and many churches are now offering not only multiple services, but multiple styles of worship. With the liturgical service, the sermon, or the homily, as it's often referred to in that context, sometimes it takes a less prominent role in the service of worship. There, the pastor is more likely to be viewed as priest than preacher. How can you, as a servant of the Word, as well as a servant of the communion table, find ways to emphasize the prophetic nature of your ministry? Your people need to hear about repentance of sin, not only in the words of the Book of Common Prayer, but also in the words of the uncompromising pulpit. Preach the Word. In the traditional, or what has been labeled free worship, free from litanies and creeds and formal prayers, the pulpit has long been at the center. Even the design of the church sanctuary with the pulpit front and center, and often in the New England tradition, not only in the center but also high and lifted up, reinforced the focus of the service as a time for preaching. If that's your church's primary style, is there enough emphasis on the priestly style of ministry? One way that you may actually enhance your preaching ministry is to incorporate more elements of adoration, praise, and thanksgiving in worship, and leave less time for preaching. You know, the Sermon on the Mount can be read in about 20 to 25 minutes, and do we really need more time than that? With the seeker-sensitive style, where time for skits and dramatic presentations are part of the Sunday celebration, preaching time can be compromised as the skit runs into preaching time, or the celebration can be so entertainment-oriented that a sense of awe and majesty in the presence of God is lost. Hold fast to a theology of preaching that values preaching as being God's way of stimulating faith. Romans 10:17. Yes, be outreach-oriented, but also be orthodox in your understanding of the role of preaching. Contemporary worship, pioneered by such groups as Calvary Chapel and Vineyard, with the emphasis on singing contemporary songs and choruses, sometimes leaves preaching out of worship, as worship is described as the singing time. It's all worship, whether the worship is taking place in the singing or the preaching or in the ministry time following the message. The audience of one is not for the purpose of entertaining one another with our craftsmanship on guitar, but in giving glory to the Creator. Well, are you a worshiper? Yes, you're the host, but leave turning on or off the lights to someone else, not like the preacher who is constantly scurrying about during the worship service. Yes, you're the performer, but do your sermon preparation time before you get there, not like the preacher who is fidgeting with notes during the singing of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Yes, you're the liturgist, but join in the festivities, not like the preacher who rushes through and misses out on an encounter with God. You're a pastor who is leading the flock in worship. You want them to know the Lord as their shepherd. You want them to know their needs being met by the Lord. You want them to know the green pastures and the still waters, the restoring of their souls, being led in paths of righteousness. You want them to know God's presence and comfort, whether facing death or facing daily evils. You want them to experience the affirmation of His anointing and overflow. You want them to see goodness and mercy all around them. Well, what about those House of the Lord moments we spend with them in worship? Are we showing that we enjoy being in the presence of the Lord? You see, we can preach on worship, but are we worshipers ourselves? The book of Revelation is a book chock full of worship. In our eagerness for end-time information, we sometimes overlook the expressions of worship found throughout the Revelation. Look at the worship going on in Revelation, and sense the Holy Spirit calling us to new adventures in worship. Put aside for a moment the timetables and charts and graphs about when things are supposed to happen, and focus on the worship that Revelation describes. In chapter 4, verse 8, day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Regardless of the style of worship, is the holiness of God being honored. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the God Almighty. In Revelation 4:11, they lay down their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Is the worthiness of God being worshipped? Worthy. Our Lord and God is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Or notice Revelation 7:10, where the great multitude cries out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Is the salvation of our God being celebrated? Are we modeling worship before the saved multitudes before us? Then there's Revelation 7:12, where the angels fall on their faces and worship God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and worship and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Well, if it's okay for the angels to fall on their faces in worship, what about us as preachers showing sincere adoration and honor in worship? Perhaps if our people saw us fall on our faces in worship, they would too. There are many more worship passages in Revelation, but let's look at one more expression of worship. It's in chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Worship this doer of great and marvelous deeds. Worship the one who is just and true in all his ways. In worship, we gather as the people of God to give honor to the one to whom honor is due. In calling people to worship, we do not want to be like on the outside looking in. Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him both great and small. Revelation 19, verse 5. Compared to the greatness of God, we're all small. Oh, praise him.